them and lift them up. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 2, please. Acts chapter 2. I know not right now, because we've been getting a whole lot of rain every day, seems like. And if like you, at my house, I mean, the ground is just soaking. I mean, there's so much. But you know, during a dry spell, which we go through at times, you know, during the summers or whenever, dry spells where it doesn't rain for a while. You can see certain effects of things starting to happen upon the earth. When there's no rain for a certain amount of time, maybe weeks, even months, it gets severe. You can see certain things start to happen. The grass, you know, will start to turn what? Brown. Because what is happening? The surface grass is starting to die. The roots may not be dead yet. But the top layer of the grass is starting to turn brown because of a lack of water. You see flowers start to wither unless someone is watering them. They start to wither and it starts to have a certain effect upon the earth. You start to see certain dry or dirt places upon the earth that just something's not right because of a lack of water. You can even see, as you're walking, you can see certain cracks in the earth. I mean, that's just, if it becomes severe, certain cracks because of a dryness that is happening. There's no water from above that's coming down to help nurture that dirt and that grass or the flowers or whatever else is planted. And certain effects start to happen, you know, that starts to make the plants die and, that's not a good sign. That's not a good sign. After a long time without physical rain, when the rain does come, it is very what? Refreshing. And it seems like when there's a long period of time without rain coming down, it seems like that first rain that comes in just washes everything. Just washes and it just cleans out everything. And you can see after a few days or so, that grass starts to what? Not be brown anymore. The green grass starts to grow again, turning it green. The flowers start to bloom and starts to look good. I mean, the leaves and everything else. Well, you know what? That's just like the water of the Holy Spirit that flows in each and every one of our lives. That's just like the Holy Spirit that flows into a church. When there's no Holy Spirit, and you might be thinking, well, Pastor, doesn't the Holy Spirit live in each church? You know, isn't it there? No, it's not. I'm telling you it's not. But you see, there has to be an atmosphere of welcoming the Holy Spirit. We pray to the Father through the name of Jesus or through the blood of Jesus. Then the Holy Spirit comes into a place. You know, in Scripture it says that Jesus said, pray this way, our Father. Our Father. He didn't say, pray to Jesus. Interesting. It says, pray to the Father that He would send the Holy Spirit. So you see, you might say, well, Pastor, aren't all three of them one and all, they're all? Yes, they are. There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're three different entities, but yet their work is in one. And so, yes, we pray to the Father through the name of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit comes as we lift up Him. But it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, look at this verse. And it says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That includes all genders. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And really what they're saying is both young men and old men shall see visions. Both old men and young men shall dream dreams. And you might say, well, just men? No. When a lot of times in the Bible, when they're talking about men, they're talking about the generality of all mankind. They're talking about women. They're talking about men. They're talking about boys and girls. That's just the form of how they spoke, men. And so here we see God says in the last days that He would pour out His Spirit. Just as evil is rising up, God is rising up. And we know God is the victor, definitely. But God says in the last days that He would pour out of His Spirit because we're lacking of the Spirit of the living God upon the earth today. We're lacking it. We're lacking God moving at will. Now, we see God moving in certain places and in certain areas and in certain parts of our lives. But God says in the last days that He would pour out His Spirit. That what He's basically saying, that there would be nothing that would hinder Him from moving upon a people. How much have we seen the Spirit of God moving in our hearts and lives, changing us from the inside? I mean, showing us things in Scripture. The power and the presence of God upon the earth today, drawing men and women unto Him like never before. Men and women that had forsook God because of whatever circumstances, but yet turned their hearts towards Him because of the power and the presence of God and the Holy Spirit working upon them and drawing them back unto Him, bringing them back to their first love of the Father. The last days, God said He would pour out His Spirit. As a whole, the body of Christ is lacking to a certain point, the presence and the anointing of God. And it has become dry in certain places. Dry. But yet, God, just as the physical rain comes down, God's Spirit, as it starts to infiltrate a people and the hearts of the living God, that it brings forth food. It brings forth nourishment. It brings forth health to God's people. All we have to do is be open to what He desires and what He wants. In Joel chapter 2, if you would turn there. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Praise God. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my Spirit. You know what He's saying? No one is left out. And buddy, that's just like our God. God doesn't leave anyone out. Because it says in John 3:16, what? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believeth in Him. Amen. Believeth in Him shall have what? Life. God doesn't leave anyone out. That's the kind of God we serve. That cares for His people. He's saying, look, I'm going to pour out my Spirit. Look. Even to the servants and the handmaids. Back then, they had servants. They had all that stuff. God didn't leave anyone out. And just as He says in the last days, God is not leaving anyone out that desires Him. That He would move on their behalf the power and the presence of God. Look. I was reading a story about a missionary that went overseas many years ago, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They drive up to this river They have to go to the other side. This is years ago. There's no bridge. The only thing they could do physically is swim to get to the other side if they can make it. Try to drive it, but you're going to get stuck. You're going to mess up your vehicle. But they know God had commissioned them to go to that other side and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So him and the friend, they bow their heads, people. And you might not believe this. I know you will. Because you know God. They took their hands and they bowed their heads. And they prayed and said, Lord God, we need a miracle. What are we to do? When they opened their eyes, people, they were on the other side. Makes you want to shout? That's the kind of God we serve. We serve a miracle-working God that can change every situation, that can solve every problem, that can bring back what was dead back to life. Old Slewfoot out there will tell you that everything that's dead in us will stay dead, and he'll try to kill everything else. But God says, oh, no, 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 that's my child. If they give it to me, I'll breathe life back into them. I'll give them life. Just as Adam, when God made Adam, he made him perfect. And as he laid there, it says, us, talking about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It says that they breathe the breath of life into them, into him. Because there was no life. Breathe into him the breath of life. That's why you can go to the funeral home and you can see the corpse laying in the coffin. And there's no life. Because the spirit, what God breathed into Adam, is gone. And now we inherited that life. It's gone. It's gone. But God can breathe the breath of life, and God can give back life where it has been dead before. I want you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. Look at starting with verse 41. It says, and Elijah, now who was Elijah? Elijah was a prophet of God, Elijah, saith unto Ahab, get you up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of an abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look towards the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there arise a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare your chariot. And get you down, that the rain stop you not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black, and the clouds and the wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Here we see a great manifestation of God moving upon a situation. Now let me back up the story here. In that time, there hadn't been rain for a long, long, physical rain, for a long, long, long period of time. And we all know we need water to drink. We need water to drink. We need water, you know, for everyday living, basically. You know, to clean things, to do whatever. But here, Elijah, in verse 41, it says this, get you up, eat and drink, Elijah said, for there is a sound of an abundance of rain. Elisha, God the Holy Spirit had spoken to Elisha and said, look, you prayed for rain. There is an abundance of rain coming. I hear it. What is that? That's faith, to believe. Faith is what? The substance of things hoped for with the evidence of things what? Not seen. That's in Hebrews. So here God had spoken to Elijah saying, there is an abundance, I hear it. Or Elijah says, I hear the abundance of rain coming. The Holy Spirit had come upon him and had spoken to him. He was in desperate need. They knew they needed that physical rain. But he said, I can hear it. Ahab, go and look. And in the meantime, it says, Elijah, even though he knew it was coming, still had to persevere in praying and seeking God for it to come. You know, we think, well, you know, God spoke this to me. It has to come. And partly that's partly true, partly. But also God says we have to persevere in getting it to come. You might say, well, what do we have to do? We have to keep praying. We have to come against the enemy in those areas. We have to let God move. We have to do what God says to do. We got to persevere. Now you might say, well, we have to do the work? No, no. We're in alignment with what the Holy Spirit has already said. So when he speaks things to your heart and to your mind, we need to pray and ask God to move upon that situation and let it come into being. It says that Elisha told Ahab to go and look. And Elisha went to, on Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel, which was a mountain or a limestone mountain, which was 1,500 feet high, extending 20 miles along the Mediterranean Sea. Okay, we got to get the picture. Here he is, Elisha goes up to that mountain because he knows they are in desperate need of the water. And he gets up there and he says, I hear the abundance of rain coming. And he gets upon the highest point that he could get to, Mount Carmel. And he gets up there and he puts his head between his knees as a form of anguish, saying, Lord, move! Lord, move! Lord, move! How many times have we been desperate for a move of God in our own lives? How many times have we been desperate for God to move upon a situation? Desperate to the point where he, their prophet, would put his head between his legs saying, look, I need it, Lord. We need for you to move, Father. At the highest point that he could get, looking out upon the Mediterranean Sea. A lot of times God will let us get to a point where we know if God doesn't move, it will not happen. And what he's saying is when it does happen, you better not take the glory. Because how many ministers and people you see that will take the glory in? And God is saying that's only for me. Only for him. Desperate for God to pour out the water that is needed to bring a refreshing upon that place. And it says that he turned to his servant and he says, as he's praying, go look. One more point is this. Ahab never got up to look himself. You might say, Pastor, why? One thing I believe is this. Well, let me back up. Well, the one thing I believe is this. If he would have got up all those six times and went, look, his faith would have diminished. And he wouldn't have had the faith to believe. It would have discouraged him. How many times have we been in a place praying for something and it seems like it won't happen, huh? We've got to remember, never put your eyes upon man. Never put your eyes upon the situation. Never put your eyes on what's going on. But always keep your eyes upon the cross. Yes, Lord. And God fulfills what He said He would do. And it says that Elijah, as his head's between his legs, in anguish praying, saying, Lord, I hear the abundance of rain. Father, let it come. Because he's, you know what he's saying? Lord, you're in control. He's saying, devil, you're not in control. You demon spirit, you're not in control. But my God is in control. Father, let it come. And he sends out his servant. Go and look. Look out upon the Mediterranean Sea and see if you see any clouds. And the servant runs and goes and looks. And can you imagine as the servant looks, he might have had his binoculars saying, what can I spot? Anything. Anything. And he looks and he scours and he looks and he scours everything more than once. And he runs, goes back to Elijah and he says, Elijah, I see nothing. And Elijah's still praying. And after a while he says, servant, go look again the second time. And he runs and he looks again and he scours it. And he sees not one cloud, people. Comes back to Elijah. And Elijah's still praying, Father, move. Lord, I hear the abundance of rain. I know it's coming. I know it's coming. I know it's coming. And can you imagine? As he comes back, he says, there's none. He goes back a third time, a fourth time, a fifth time, a sixth time. You might say, Pastor, how long did it take? I don't know. I'm out of time. But let me tell you, six times of running back and forth. And finally, the last time. The seventh time, which is God's number, perfection. Seven. God's number. Elijah didn't know it would take seven times. Sometimes we think when we pray one time, that's it. It's going to happen. Pray again. And pray again. And pray again. And don't give up. And don't give up. And don't give up. And don't give up. Don't give up on your families. And man, it might look like, oh my God, they're worse off than before. You're praying and you're thinking, oh my God, the devil has unleashed his evil spirits upon them. They're worse off. Your children, your spouse, your mother or your father or whoever. But redemption's coming. That seventh time is coming. And the last time Elijah told his servant, go out and look. And can you imagine as he looks, he sees a cloud as big as that man's hand. That's all. That's all. That's not too big, huh? But with God, that's all it takes. You might say, Pastor, man, my prayers don't mean much, but in the hands of God, it's everything. When we pray and we seek God on behalf of our family members, on behalf of the church, it may not seem like much, but when we pray and it's in the hands of God, He changes it all because it's in the Master's hand. When we pray for ourselves, because we need to pray for ourselves, we need to ask God to move in our hearts and to stay right before Him. When we pray and it gets in the hands of God, it changes everything. Can you imagine as the servant started to run back forth to Elijah, excited because faith has built in him to believe now. And he gets to Elijah and he says, look, there's a cloud. Only as big as a man's hand, but there's one. And Elijah picks up his head and says, the rain is coming. And the verse, it says that the clouds came in as black and the storm came in and the rain fell, people. That's the power of our God. That's the power of your God that is ready to move upon situations in your life, ready to change things according to the Word of God if we will allow Him to, and not give up. Don't give up upon yourself. Don't give up upon your family. Don't give up upon your children. Don't give up upon your parents. Don't give up on your spouse. Don't give up. Keep on pursuing. Keep on persevering. Keep on praying and asking God to move upon those situations. And I guarantee, it's going to happen. I'm going to say it, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Because God is in the business of answering the prayers of His people. The things that He puts upon our hearts is just like the Word of God that has been written by the Spirit of God. He will move upon a situation and He will change it. That's the kind of God you serve. That will change it all as we put our lives in the hands of our God. You might say, well, I'm nothing. Well, you are something. You're something in the hands of God. Well, I don't feel like something. Well, we don't go by feelings. We live by faith. Faith in the Son of the living God and what He did at Calvary's cross. The power of the Spirit of God that comes from what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. It says when He was up there, it is what? Finished. That means everything has been settled upon the cross. That means all victory from the past, the present, and the future in people's lives has been set in order. And it is done by the Spirit of the living God. Persevere and don't let go. Persevere and don't let go. That's one area where we can be stubborn. You know, God doesn't like stubborn people, you know, stiff-necked, stubborn people. But in praying to God, we need to be a little stubborn people and say, it's going to happen. I believe You, Lord. Doesn't matter what I see. Doesn't matter what I feel. Doesn't matter what's going on in the front or the back or on the sides of us. We've given it to God. And He said it will happen. Persevere, 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 and don't let go. Those kids that have been knot heads for a little while, just keep praying for them. Just keep praying for them, man. Just keep praying for them and loving them and letting the power of the Spirit of God work in their hearts and work in their lives. And don't let go. Don't let go. I want to read verse 44 because it says this. And it came to pass at the seventh time that He said, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And He said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare your chariots and get you down, that the rain stop not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heavens was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Here we see a great move of the Spirit of God. Don't give up on all that you are asking God for. Be persistent. If we ask and we do not receive, we ought to keep on asking. Keep on asking, people. Keep on believing. Don't give up. That's what the old enemy would like us to do, is give up. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. It won't be long. We're going to be closing here. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Be persistent. Be persistent. Don't give up. And I say, Pastor, I've been praying about this for a long time. That's okay. Keep on praying. Unless the Holy Spirit changes your prayer about it, keep on praying. Keep on praying. Keep on believing. Keep on seeking God for the answer. Keep on seeking God for a mighty move of Him. We've all been in a place where we've seen God answer our prayers, huh? I know that. where we just silently just bowed our head and said, Lord, I don't understand. But Father, I need for you to move and help. Might have been that day, or next week. But God answered it. And God moved circumstances to change it. Be persistent. Luke chapter 11. Look at verse 6. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is not now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his opportunity, or his persistence, that's just enough, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. If a son asks bread of any of you, who is a father, which he will give him a stone? And if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? And if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask him? Here we see the story. Someone came to visit a man, and he had nothing to set before them. So he goes to his neighbor. I need some bread. And the neighbor says, look, I'm sleeping, and my children are in bed. I can't do that right now. But he kept on knocking. Kept on knocking. Kept on knocking, people. And the man got up and gave him what he wanted. Every time you pray, you knock on that door. When you pray again, you knock on that door. When you pray again, you knock on that door. When you seek God's face and you're praying about a certain situation in your family, you're knocking on the door. You're knocking on the door. It says, ask and we shall receive. Seek and we shall find. Knock and the door shall be open unto us. Do we believe his word? We definitely do. We believe. And we stand firm that the things that we've been asking and we've been praying about, we've been knocking on that door. You might say, well, I'm not a praying person like whoever. Don't ever compare yourself to anybody else. That's what the devil wants. If you're going to compare yourself to Jesus. And we know none of us can live up to who he is. At all. We can only do that. So you know what? God says, don't judge one another. But don't judge yourself either. Because sometimes our judgment on ourselves is so harsh and so severe. But be persistent and keep on knocking. Be persistent and keep on knocking. You might say, well, Pastor, I haven't seen the answer yet. That's okay. You just keep on praying. You keep on believing. You keep on seeking. You keep on knocking. You keep on asking. You're saying, Lord, you are a mighty God. You see this situation, and I know you can change it. And look, the Father, who says, we as human beings, as we just read, know how to give good gifts. You know, how much more will our Heavenly Father give unto us? That he loves us and cares about us. Be persistent and never give up. Don't give up on your children. Don't give up on people you love. Don't give up on society. Don't give up on people on your workforce. Don't give up on them. My God, they need God like you have God. They need him. Because you see, in order to enter into heaven, there's only one door. And that door is Jesus Christ. That's it. It has to be the blood. It has to be the blood. And as we're praying, the spirit of the reign of the Holy Spirit rains down upon our hearts and in our lives. And we keep on seeking Him. We keep on honoring Him. In Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1, it says this. Zechariah 10, 1. And I'll be closing with this. It says, "Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone, grass in the fields." Now, look at that first part, which is amazing. He says, ask. Ye of the Lord, or you of the Lord, rain in the time of latter rain. He's saying, ask for rain of my spirit in the time of latter rain. That means the rain is there to be poured out upon our lives. That means God is ready to answer our prayers. God is ready to move upon our spirits. God is ready to do what needs to be done to bring victory in our hearts and in our lives. That honestly, that doesn't make sense in the human nature. Acts rain in the time of latter rain? Come on, man. If there's rain, there's rain. If there's not, there's not. He's saying there's rain. It's abundant. The clouds are black. I mean, it's ready. See, but he says, ask for it. Ask for it. God is saying, ask me. Seek me. Find me. Be persistent. Be persistent. And as we are persistent, the power and the Spirit of God will come upon our lives and He will change situations around. Don't ever think there is a hopeless situation. Because God is hope. And when God gets in the mix of something, hope will come. Because He's hope. He can change it. He can change our families. He can change our friends. He can change our churches. He can, by the power and the presence of God. Amen. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of latter rain. Amen. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? Come, Holy Spirit. Move upon us like never before, Father. Oh, Jesus. Father, rebirth those things that have gone dead on the inside of us, Lord, by the Holy Spirit. Amen. I know there are things that you have been praying about in your personal life. In your personal life. I know that. Before we go, let's just lift our hands. And let's be persistent. Let's pray about those things. Pray to the Lord about those things that you have been praying about. And ask God again to move upon it. Be persistent. Father, you see those things that we have been praying about, Lord. Father, Lord, you see those things that have bothered our spirits, Lord. You see those things that have discouraged us, Lord. But Father, we shall be persistent and we will not give up. Because Father, we know in your hands a small cloud the size of a man's hand can bring down a thunderstorm with you. And Lord God, you see those things that are happening. And Lord God, into your hands we place those situations, Father. We place those things, Lord God, into your hands. And Father, we pray that you will move upon that situation and you will solve it, Lord, as we keep our eyes upon you. And Father, as we do, Lord God, faith will rise up in us to believe like never before, Lord. Father, we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory, Lord God, this day. In your name we pray. Amen. Look, guys, I just want to tell you, I appreciate you. We thank God for you and we love you. And we pray you have a great week this week. Amen. And be persistent. Don't give up. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.